This is Michael Johnson, and welcome to another of the podcasts for F5 Networks series. Today, we're going to be talking about unified secure access, and is it the way of the future? We have a couple of guests on today. Ken Salko, who is the technical marketing manager for core products for F5 Networks, and also Abby Guha, who's the product marketing manager for RSA's Authentication Technologies, a division of EMC. Welcome both of you to the podcast. We're going to start with you, Ken, to explain exactly what unified secure access means and how's it different from network access control, which we talked about before in previous podcasts.
Okay. So unified secure access is actually part of F5's unified access and application delivery methodology. So it's a kind of a whole approach to how to secure and deliver applications to users. So in today's world, there are two big things that are driving information technology. The first is data center consolidation, which is being driven by compliance mandates and cost-saving initiatives. And the second is the increasing mobility of the average worker. Many of them are in the office, on the road, or working from home at any given moment on any given day. Now, these two drivers are making people realize that it's not viable anymore to have remote access policies and local access policies. It just presents too many possibilities for mistakes to be made, and it's simply too inefficient and costly. So unified access is all about removing that artificial boundary between what a local user is and what a remote user is, and applying the exact same access policy to both groups. An access policy that can be dynamically adapted to where the user is, and it can be applied universally. So this is a little different from network access control or generic NAC, because NAC is really only relevant for local access where organizations actually own the switches and routers that you plug into. In that scenario, it's really a great addition to security, but it still leaves out the remote user, because when you're a remote user, you're plugging into switches and routers that are either owned by you at your home or, you know, by the local coffee shop that you're accessing the internet from. So with NAC, you still end up with two different policies for remote users versus local users, and two different ways to handle that access. And so that doesn't really solve the top-level problem.
Okay, now you've established that for remote users, the secure access is to the network is pretty important, but why do customers need unified access? What's the need for that?
Right. So I already mentioned the first one, which is, you know, what defines a remote user versus a local user.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm for my job, I'm actually remote most of the time. I work from my home office. However, every month I'm in corporate and I'm plugged into the local network. So, you know, how do we define what a remote user is and a local user? And shouldn't we have different security policies based on those two different things? But shouldn't we have them in a unified manner, a policy that actually understands whether I'm local or remote and changes the policy, allows me to access the network in one way? Secondly, a lot of organizations are realizing that the same security they apply to remote users, like encrypting technology, so, you know, using a VPN to access the corporate network, is just as important as on the LAN as it is in the WAN. So, you know, if you're trying to do compliance or you're trying to ensure that private data stays private, you know, if it goes across in clear text on the local area network, there's a good chance that people who aren't supposed to be seeing it could still see it. So why don't we use the same kind of technologies that we use across the public infrastructure, across the internet? What if we use those internally as well to encrypt that data? So the same thing applies. Why aren't we using the same access policies? Why aren't we applying the same security for the internal users as the external users? And that's even a bigger question, because most of us have known for a long time that most security incidents are actually perpetrated by employees. They're internal people, not internet users. And so it really seems silly to have extra security on the outside when they're coming across the internet, and less security on the inside when they're internal users, when the internal users are the ones that are more dangerous.
So how does this tie in with compliance? I know we've got a lot of government regulations out there around data security. We've got Sarbanes-Oxley, HIPAA, Senate Bill 1386, and more. How does this relate to compliance issues?
Well, yeah, I mean, compliance is really driving IT today, isn't it? Mandates and regulations seem to continue to grow and mount every day. So really, when it comes down to compliance, the biggest thing that people really have to do is prove that they're compliant. So, you know, you can go through a checklist and you can say, we did this, we did that, we did the other thing. But unless you have some assurance that you can actually implement those policies, that they're actually being used, you really can't prove that you're compliant and you're still going to have problems. So it's a lot simpler to show that you're applying the same policy, the same compliance template to every user if you only have one policy to apply to all users, regardless of whether they're remote or they're local. If you have two of them, now you have to coordinate logs and you have to bring data together from different sources. And frankly, it's a little bit too complex. Errors are going to be made and you're going to miss something. So really, unified access is really an attempt to make it easier to actually comply to some of these mandates.
That flows right into talking about authentication, which has kind of been the underlying, you know, the subtext of what you've been talking about this whole time, that ability to really identify that user beyond a reasonable doubt. That seems like a real key factor for unified access. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head. Unified access is all well and good. You know, having a great policy that you're sure of, that does exactly what you want it to do, can adapt dynamically to, you know, where the user's coming from or what type of device they're doing or what kind of information they're trying to access, all of this stuff is really great. But it all falls apart if you can't even figure out who the user is. If you have no assurance that the person on the other end of that connection is really the person they are, then you might as well just pack up and go home. There's no point to even have all this other stuff.
Well, let's talk a little bit further about authentication with Abby Guha. Again, she's the product marketing manager for RSA's Authentication Technologies. It's a division of EMC. Abby, can you chime in here? We've been talking about authentications. Passwords are obviously the most common authentication mechanism that's used. Now, aside from IT policies that require them to be sort of, you know, either complex or changed on a regular basis, how does RSA propose strengthening that factor, that part of unified access?
Sure, Michael. You know, just following from what Ken mentioned earlier, one of the key elements that ultimately supports the overall success of a unified access strategy is really being able to verify the identity of the user and being able to determine with a pretty high level of confidence the trustworthiness of the identity credential that the user is presenting. And, you know, this is generally difficult to do when the key user authentication mechanism involves passwords, even those passwords that are more complex and are changed regularly based on some of these policies on the back end. And, you know, we've found that passwords are just generally not socially engineered to support security best practices, mainly because it's difficult to follow security best practices when password management involves post-it notes, writing down key passwords in Word or Excel files. In previous lives, I've been guilty of doing that myself. And also the scenario where passwords are very easily shared and you've got multiple end users sort of sharing this one password to get into some critical information and applications. So RSA's approach to strengthening unified access is to enable organizations to determine with a pretty high level of assurance that the user is in fact who they claim to be, and also to ensure that the user is the same user across a variety of applications. And this is basically done through strong authentication or two-factor authentication, where a user provides two pieces of information to identify themselves as opposed to just one in the case of a, you know, simple password. So these two things would be something they know, for example, a PIN number that they would know, and something they have, such as an authenticator, also often referred to as tokens. And these tokens generate a new code every 60 seconds, which we refer to as a one-time password. And so the user, with a combination of these two pieces of information, the PIN and this ever-changing code that only that user would uniquely have, through those two pieces of information, it's a much more thorough and rigorous authentication process while keeping the user experience very simple.
Well, let's expand a little bit more about authentication systems. You were mentioning sort of two-factor authentication systems. Key fob tokens are probably the most common of those. How do you see two-factor authentication changing?
So some examples of where we see strong authentication going, and two-factor in particular, include, for example, the growth of software authenticators. So this is a software version of hardware authenticators that we're already familiar with, or the key fob tokens that you mentioned earlier. And these software authenticators are basically a deployment of strong two-factor authentication as a software implementation and offer the same convenience and security that these hardware authenticators do. But now, instead of someone carrying two devices around, for example, the key fob and a mobile device that they may be using, now you can just load an authenticator in a software format right onto a mobile device. So you can run strong authentication right off of your PDA or off of your mobile phone. So that's one key area where we're seeing a lot of interest, and organizations are definitely starting to appreciate the benefits of, from the user perspective, maybe just carrying one strong authentication device. What we're also seeing is that there's an increasing demand for multi-function authenticators, such as a USB authenticator or token. And not only can this sort of, you know, connected token generate a new code every 60 seconds, but can also store Windows usernames and passwords and digital certificates on the device. So all the end user would have to do is come in, connect the authenticator to their machine, or the, you know, their PC's USB port, and then the user's identity credentials are pulled right off of the authenticator. And so the first factor might be they key in a PIN number, and then their digital certificate is just sucked right out of the USB authenticator, and those are the two pieces of information that the user provides.
Okay, so we've established that unified access security is greatly improved by some of these two-factor authentications, but what other benefits would a company have by deploying, say, RSA's technology in conjunction with its unified access plan?
Well, you know, strong authentication is a key way to ensure the integrity of the end user's identity, and then subsequently strengthen the unified access approach that a company is adopting. And, you know, RSA also offers other technologies that help organizations bring in security best practices to protect their employees or, you know, key stakeholders' online identities and other things as digital assets or intellectual property. And ultimately, the goal is to round out their unified access plan. I had alluded to digital certificates earlier, and digital certificate solutions are certainly a great way to support this effort within the unified access context by associating a user or a device with a digital certificate. So RSA's digital certificate solutions can really support an organization's effort to round out their unified access plan, because with digital certificates, you can associate a user or a device with the digital certificate, and this just further enhances the level of trust between business transactions.
So we still have on the line Ken Salko from F5 Networks. Ken, do you want to wrap this up and have any closing comments that you'd like to establish here?
Yeah, thanks. Really, I just wanted to put in that what RSA provides for this whole unified access approach is really important. That's why we're so excited to partner with RSA on this. Their strong security solutions allow us to really identify who those users are, which really enables the whole unified access approach. And some of the other things that Abby mentioned, things like digital certificates, also allow us to do some fun and interesting things as far as changing the type of security we apply based on whether the user's on a, you know, a corporate asset or their home computer. So RSA's technology really allows us to really explore the horizons of what unified access really means to us. So we're really excited about that.
That was Ken Salko, Technical Marketing Manager for Core Products at F5 Networks. We were also joined today by Abby Guha, Product Marketing Manager of Authentication Technologies for RSA, a division of EMC. To find out more about Unified Access, check out F5's website at www.f5.com/unifiedaccess. I'm Michael Johnson.